Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yes, the Bennett Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Happy Football Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. By the way, the Chiefs are having a great day. The MRI results from Pat Mahomes' knee indicate that he just suffered a dislocated kneecap and nothing else. No ligament damage. As bad as that sounds.
That's incredible.
They are only expecting him to miss about three games. So that is good for the Chiefs. By the way, LeBron is feeling the heat. LeBron tried to just get on social media and give a little love to Pat Mahomes. He said, best of luck slash health to my guy, Patrick Mahomes. And just got killed with Chinese government.
I know why he did that, because the Chiefs wear red.
He just got destroyed. Just got destroyed. All right, joining us now on the Ben and Skin Show, thanks to our friends at the Windstar World Casino and Resort. It's the best in the business. The great Brian brought us. How you doing today, Brian?
Doing great. Thank you, Windstar. And I got bumped. I bumped Jerry Jones. How about that, man? That's that's some incredible programming on your part to do that on the fly. So.
Well, we love Jerry, but
I know you love Jerry. I feel honored. I really, really do.
We love you more.
Well, don't say that. He pays a lot of bills over that ballpark.
And we got Jerry at 120. We're fine.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. We're good. We'll get to Jerry here. I do want to get your thoughts. I'm having a hard time with some of the intangible things that are being discussed this week. And what I mean by that is people talking about a lifeless sideline, not a lot of passion, those types of things. And I'm wondering for you, you forgot, more football today than I'll ever know just in one day. So what do you make of all this talk about passion? Is this what you're seeing, a passionless team?
I had lunch with Christy Scales today, and I asked her the same question, because this morning I was working out and I was listening to Sean and RJ, and Sean talked about, I need to have Christy Scales on and let her talk about this and with the sidelines. And I said, Christy, you seeing anything different on the sidelines than the previous 25 years or so you've been doing this? And she says, no, not really. She says, people make certain things, lack of passion or passion for things. And she says, I haven't seen anything different from this team. I know that, she said, guys like Bill Cowher and Troy Aikman, everybody else saying they kind of notice these things. But she says, down there, no, it's not any different. And, Christy has always been really, really honest with me about it. And she says, no, the players are into it. They seem to be locked into things. Some things that happen during games that cause them problems and cause them issues. And, it's a lot different. I mean, I don't go to the games anymore because I do all our work here in the studio. But, for somebody that's down there in the middle of it, and she's been a big, big part of, of covering this team for a long time. If she's telling me that, no, it's not any different, but she does say, there's things that happen. There are bad things that happen that, you get a different reaction from. There's some good things that happen. But she says overall, it's been pretty consistent. It's been, something that she's kind of coming to expect from Jason Garrett team. She says they're not always she says, certain players get emotional, they're on the sidelines, but overall, as a group, they stay pretty even keel, and she thinks a lot of it has to do with because the head coach is that way.
Okay, that's good. I thought that she had mentioned, I thought it was during the Packers game that she sensed that it was a little lifeless over there, but I don't want to put words into her mouth.
No, yeah, she was, I asked her, I just point blank, and she says, no, it hasn't been much different. Again, maybe she doesn't remember exactly what she said during the Packers game, but I made it a point to ask her because, I know a lot of, there's a lot of times that, in the media, and and I'm included because I don't always go to the games anymore. And, you know, I'll lob a hand grenade in there, you know, and watch the scrap metal hit everybody, you know, the kind of thing. And, you know, unless you're involved in the middle of it, it's kind of hard sometimes to say, oh, this team is this and this team is that, unless you're really physically standing there and hanging out with them and doing that, you know, and covering them that way. And I like to feel like some of the advantages I do have is when questions do come up here at the Star, I can go and ask the people who would know. And again, she told me, she says, no, not much different than what I've seen in the past.
Okay, Brian, we really focus on our injuries and all those sorts of things. But
yeah.
Is there injuries over in the Philly side that you think the Cowboys can really exploit?
Well, it sounds like they're going to get some guys back this week, you know. So, yeah, I mean, their secondary has been a real issue for them. And I'm waiting for the final report to see who's practiced. So I could just talk about who practiced for the Cowboys today, just to kind of tie that up with what the Eagles are doing. You know, the both the tackles went, the receiver went, and, you know, and then Byron Jones was out there. So these guys took normal reps. They were out there, and it wasn't one of those things they're trying to baby them through the practice. They were trying to figure out there if these guys are capable of going. So, again, Amari Cooper out there, Randall Cobb out there, Byron Jones out there, the two tackles out there. The only guy, again, that's not going to play this week is going to be Anthony Brown, but it looks like everybody else made it through this practice. Now, we'll see when the report comes out, but just talking to some people after practice, they were pleased with the direction that all those guys went and look for them to be available for this game this weekend. But, yeah, the Eagles, you know, like I said, they get Jalen Mills back, who was, you know, a very talented cornerback for them. They've really, really struggled on the outside with Rasul Douglas playing, you know, and then Sidney Jones as well has been a big, big issue for them. So I still feel like that the Cowboys, if they, you know, with the way the offensive line, with Collins at the right tackle, Smith at the left tackle, you know, to find a way to protect, hold up in protection. Like I said, the ball's going to go down the field. You know, it might be a little bit more of downfield football from this team because the Eagles have had some problems in playing some pass coverage. And I feel like the Cowboys are going to try and take advantage of that. So, you know, kind of keep an eye on how the routes are developing down the field and the plays they're able to make down the field.
Man, I love the way Amari Cooper is wired. I just think he's one of those guys that's going to be keep him off the field no matter what. But let me ask you this, Brian. So if he wants to play just because he's a warrior and he goes out there and he gets hurt on the first play again, does that limit them in terms of their roster and not being able to bring enough wide receivers?
Oh, well, today was the day of we're not going to have what happened to us last week. You know, we're going to find out if you can go out there and play 15, 20, 30 plays. How many plays are in practice? We're going to find out if you can withstand what we're about to do. I mean, that was the same thing with the tackles, the same thing with Byron Jones, those guys. I mean, they went out there and worked them with the intent of like, okay, let's see you run routes. Let's see you cut. Let's see you move. Now, again, we don't know what kind of when there's going to be collisions and things like that. But, yeah, he was in bad shape over the weekend. But today was about, you know, making sure that quad, that they got all the blood out of that quad so he could feel, you know, feel good about it, the flexibility in the quad so he could practice. And, you know, this team is not going to put guys out there that are hurt. But they wanted to make sure that every one of these guys had the capability, you know, rev them up, let them go. And if they can't make it through a practice today, then they don't need to be active on Sunday. And, you know, I just kind of getting the feeling that they feel good about the direction that all these guys went.
Talking to Brian Broaddus here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Earlier in the week, we had a discussion over multiple shows about Zeke falling off and to what degree. I mean, I would maintain that if there is a fall off, and there is some, I think it's fractional. I don't think it's pulled him out of the realm of what I thought he was.
Sure.
What is your perception of Zeke? How he's playing this year, and do you think there's some degree of fall off?
Yeah, this is you're bringing me on as a character witness here because I know people have come after you on you know, your beliefs. I know you texted into the show the other day when the guys were talking about it on the morning show and stuff like that. I don't see the explosiveness that I once saw, But I do see the toughness, the physicality. I do see blitz pickup. I do see catching the football. I do see some tough running. I think maybe that 400 touches a year has maybe taken its toll on him a little bit. You know, we talk about what happened with no lack of training camp and all that stuff. How fresh is he? You know, I mean, that's, you know, he should be showing more explosiveness. But, you know, he made a mistake the other day. He could have clearly had a longer run on that 38 that they ran where they got the guard out front with Martin. If he stays the outside, now it's going to be a foot race to see. But there has been some I'm not going to say slippage, but you just don't see the explosiveness that you once saw. But it's still the capability of him carrying the ball, being tough, getting tough yards. I mean, he had on that third and one, I mean, he had no chance on that goal line play the other day. I mean, they, you know, Williams and Frederick missed their block, and bam, that tackle's sitting right in the hole, and he's, you know, he tries to overpower a 300-pound guy, and he just can't get it done. But I think that there's clearly some of the, again, the lack of explosiveness of the player. I still think he's one of the best to play just because of all the things that else he could do. Again, the running ability, the toughness, the catching the football, and the blitz pickup stuff you have with him.
When you look at the last 3 weeks, Cowboys have been outscored in the first half of games 47-9.
Not good.
Is it one of those things where you can, as a football man, look at those three games and kind of explain away, okay, this happened in this game, this happened in this game, or is it one of those things, this might be a fatal flaw, this might be a trend?
It's a fine line that these guys play on offense. And, you know, when they, especially last week when they were down Cooper, when they were down offensive tackles, when they were down with Dak, you know, taking some hits, you know, that's a problem for this team, is when their ability to, or the lack of execution. And I know everybody out there, the Tolos, are rolling their eyes and say, Broadus, you work for the Cowboys, you're talking about Garrett and all that stuff. Trust me, it's the truth. When they throw a ball to Michael Gallup on, you know, for a first down, and he's well past the sticks, he's going to get the ball into Jets territory with a fresh set of downs, and the ball goes right through his hands. You know, that's a very fine line right there. That is one of those things this team can't afford, the misses, the opportunities to catch passes. They can't afford penalties. They can't afford to have a guy line up wrong and bring back a, you know, 15-yard gain on the outside, especially when they're down the personnel that they were down. So, yeah, slow starts. You know, I think that the Saints had a great game plan for them. I really, really do. And, you know, and both defenses, I thought, played very, very well that game. The Green Bay game, they got way, way behind, and then the turnovers were killer for them. So, again, I think it's a very, very fine line offensively. I think the struggles on the offense has kind of overshadowed some of the problems they've had on defense. You know, I think a lot of people are focusing on the offense, but you could also find some fault with the defense as well. And, you know, that's why you're on a three-game losing streak right now.
Okay, and just to clarify, your feeling after being out there at the store today that probably Byron Jones is the lone guy, who, if everything stays the same, that probably wouldn't play, but the rest of them probably
would. No, Byron Jones is going to play.
Oh, Byron is going to play. Who's the one guy?
Anthony Brown.
Okay, got it.
There were six guys that were not at practice on Wednesday. And just talking to some people here, again, I'm just, you know, just visiting with some folks, they felt like that things went well. Now they got a practice again tomorrow, or, you know, kind of a walkthrough thing to see how they feel. But the indications were that it felt like that the guys that needed to come through today came through. So, again, we'll wait and see what happens with the inactives. But at least the guys that were out there continued to practice from what I was told.
Wow, that is fantastic news. Brian, thank you for the update, and thank you to the Windstar World Casino for giving us the best in the business.
Appreciate Windstar a lot. And you guys get back to that Jerry Jones. That's more important than me.
There you go, brother. Have a good one.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
There he goes, Brian Broadus. Man.
Love you.
What a great update from Broadus. So wait a second. I was just thinking that, I mean, I know that they'd rolled Lyle and Tyron out there during a portion of practice. I wasn't feeling that good about it. I certainly wasn't feeling good about Amari Cooper. But it sounds like they're all going to be able to give it a go. There are no setbacks between now and Sunday night.
And they could get out there. I mean, keep in mind, you know, Tyron went out there last week to try to give it a go, and we're not going to do this. So we don't want to get overly excited, but it's way more encouraging than anything that's happened this week.
That's the best news we've had around here in a long time.
Yep.
Coming up next, let's get into the Jerry Jones audio. Some really interesting answers from Jerry. And we'll get into that next right here on 105.3 The Fan. All right, now's your chance to text in the word of the hour to 72881. The word of the hour is duck. D-U-C-K. Ah. Yeah, go ahead and send that in. By the way, something pretty awesome posted on social media, on D-Will's account. So D-Will must be out playing golf with Tony Romo, which, by the way, I don't think the Chiefs are going to need to call Romo now because Pat Mahomes will be back in 3 weeks.
Wouldn't Romo play three games for them?
Probably not. Romo's out playing golf right now.
I would.
But what D-Will did, D-Will looks to be in the cart in front of Romo, and so he gets in front of Romo with his car, and he takes out. They look to be playing somewhere that is in a. There's that, a lot of dirt.
No, that's down south, bro.
That is.
That looks like Trinity Forest to me.
Trinity Forest.
I could be wrong, but that looks like a Lynx course.
Well, they're in some dirt, and D-Will takes out a fake rattlesnake or a fake snake, and it's coiled up, and he put it down right by the cart, and Romo saw it, and I mean, he could have injured Romo. Romo dove out of there, jumped out of there, thought it was the snake was real. D-Will clowned him and posted it on social media.
He looks like a guy that could play for the Chiefs right now.
Looks like he can still play.
This was at a Merido Golf Club out there in Old Carrollton.
Okay.
Oh, what?
The home of the Switch Fest Festival coming up in a couple weeks.
Have you played that course? Doesn't that look like... Have you seen the footage?
No. Merido's private, dude.
Okay.
It looks incredible.
Doesn't that look like that shot that looks like Trinity Forest, kind of?
I know they play Cheryl Park a lot, so I don't know if they were out there. They were probably getting that early rate, that midday rate.
Dude, I need to go get some 2 p.m. Yep. Cheryl Park on.
Me too.
Okay. Got to get into a quote here from DeMarcus Lawrence. This has become the biggest... And obviously, before we get to that, we should reiterate what Brian brought us. Brian brought us, thanks, this is what he's sensing, that the Cowboys are feeling pretty confident that they're going to get all their injured guys back except Anthony Brown. So that would be huge. Now, he's not guaranteeing it, and that's not what he's saying. He's just saying he's sensing that they're feeling more and more confident, and that would be huge. Even Amari Cooper, who I thought there's no way in hell he'd play. Right. And then the biggest news outside of that is DeMarcus Lawrence, what he just said. So the beat writers are all posting this on social media. DeMarcus Lawrence was asked about Doug Peterson's guarantee that the Eagles are going to beat the Cowboys, and he says, all right, he's got to come here. Tell him to come on. We ready. Can he play the game? He might want to shut his ass up and stay on the sidelines. He can't play the game for them. We'll see.
I do love Tank. You know what, though? That's so good. Awesome. You know, because you know what Tank just did? He did the exact same thing Doug Peterson did, except the difference is that Tank's not about to go on a conference call and go, no, what I really meant, guys, is that I have my team's back. Tank's just going to say it and then leave it out there and be like, what?
Oh, okay. Dave Hellman now chiming in. Tank was also asked about the fact that he's rotated off the field more this season than in other years. Tank says, you ain't got to worry about it this week. Doug Peterson already called us out, so y'all know what it is.
Oh!
Okay, so we've talked about
Bassick all worked up.
We've talked about the idea that, you know, does bulletin board material work on pros? I think it does if you light a flame, if you engulf it, if you set off the match or
like
whatever,
a fuse,
and you blow it up. And that's what he's doing. D-Law is using this. D-Law is using this as a way to get his team fired up. He's like, this is good leadership.
Yeah.
Guys, they're calling us out. Their coach just guaranteed victory.
I wish he had used it sometime in the last 3 weeks, but dude, it's do or die click. Let's go.
All right.
Beat the Eagles, be 4-3, be one up on them in your division, and then move onward and upward. All right. But we are going to be miserable next week if they lose this stupid game Sunday night.
Yeah. All right, let's dive into some of this. Jerry Jones, cut number one, is this a must-win game?
Oh, listen, I think that if you really look at it, you've got to anticipate possible disappointments as you move on through the schedule. So when you really think about it and start doing the very mathematics, every game needs to be won, and that's almost trite. And so that game was a big one last week in the grand scheme of things. And we're going to need it. And if not, we're going to have made up for it by doing something on the road or doing something in the last part of the game or last second possession. We've got to get it done because it's that competitive to be able to be in the playoffs and have a shot.
He knows. I mean, everybody knows. They all know. I mean, we can sit there and go, well, mathematically speaking, but dude, they know. This is it. You have to go win this game.
All All right.
You don't have a choice.
Cut number two, have bad habits at practice translated on the field?
I'm a firm believer that repetition is football. It's doing the same thing over and over again. Now, if you put in to something, whether it be food in your body or what have you, what you put in is what comes out as far as results are concerned. If you put in sloppy practicing, if you put in cavalier attitude about the crispness of a play, a route, or your hand placement on a block, that's what you're going to see when it comes out when in a ball game. So I completely understand, and frankly, that's been a premise that most coaches should stress and have stressed for as long as I've been associated with it. You've got to practice this game. This game is work to practice. I said the other day on the radio, nobody just goes out and hits each other for the fun of it. They'll shoot baskets, play grounders, they'll do that stuff in other sports. Not here. This is hard work. Put it in hard. That's what we do out here, certainly 3 days a week, actually 5 days a week. But I think we're doing that, and I think we're all looking for ways to start fast and come out on the better end.
Practice.
I like that metaphor that if you eat fast food from a taco joint, it's going to be a disaster in your toilet. So whatever you put that good food in.
Put it in hard.
Yep. And have a good solid stool.
Let's go to cut number three. This is just a tense interaction with skin, according to the cut sheet.
Yeah.
Not to put words in your mouth, Jerry, I want to make sure I understand. Do you feel like that what we're talking about there is not emblematic of this particular team the last several weeks? Do you think?
No, you are putting words in my mouth.
Well, I'm asking for clarification.
Okay, let's don't do that.
I don't want to.
I'm not going to let you do it.
Okay.
What I'm saying is the better we practice, the better we'll play. I believe that. And I'm not addressing any particular individual or any team or any situation. The better we practice, the better we play. Every team that plays a game this weekend, if they had practiced better, they will play better.
But what about Jalen? Would that have been a good follow-up question?
Let's go to cut number six, which includes the question. You know, I would assume in terms of you going in and saying, hey, this team needs a talk with me. This team needs a come to Jerry meeting. Are you at that point now, or could you see this kind of getting to that point anytime soon?
Let's don't assume that, and you started your question off, let's assume that your assumption is not correct, and it isn't. I don't have, the ultimate is to come to my office. I don't have that policy. And I continually work with everybody that's involved here to see if there are areas that we can do better on. We did that last year. We did it after we lost to Washington. We got better, sat there before I left town, and made the trade on Cooper. We made changes in the coaching staff. Now, what I am for is moving within the bounds of what's in reasonable. I am for continually look for ways that you can change and improve, whether it be personnel or whether it be what we're doing with the personnel. And, yes, I spend a lot of time there.
I mean, they do have the bye week next week, and that's where they made a lot of decisions last year. That's where they got rid of Paul Alexander and made the move to Colombo because things just weren't progressing. But it felt like they were waiting on that to get to bye week to do that, because we could have seen in week four or five, hey, maybe we'll just go ahead and make a change. Things aren't working well. They waited till bye week. Kind of waited till bye week to make the trade, really. I mean, they played a game and then they had the bye week, but you know, so I think if things were to go poorly Sunday night, I think you'd hear loud and clear what Jerry wants over the bye week when the coaches have their meetings and things like that. So I understand what he's saying, and he's right, and he would know more than me, but I do think if Jerry had anything that he wanted to voice, I think the timeline is now based on what happens Sunday night. We'll see. Bye week, they all have these meetings and tighten thing up meetings and things like that. And that's where I just kind of wonder if that's where things would get tense. That's why I think if the Cowboys don't play well and get beat, like get beat badly, ass kicked up and down the field, that's where I think Jason would get fired. because they got a bye week to make adjustments and they're going to meet on this stuff. I don't think they're going to stand pat.
I can get on board with the concept that if they get routed by the Eagles at home and are sitting there at 3-4, I can get behind the concept of them replacing Jason. But I think it has to be them getting really destroyed on national TV on a Sunday night game at their house. Right. I think that's the way that he gets bounced. Otherwise, even if Philly just barely beats him, I don't think they're getting rid of him.
It's what I want to happen, but the more I think about it, it's going to be Marinelli. You know, it's probably going to be Marinelli, right? Because he's got head coaching experience. Richard is already running the defense. It's a CEO-type head coaching role. And so it's not like Marinelli's the answer to anything. So I don't know, man. It would just be like you'd just be deciding, hey, you know what? Garrett's problematic for us. Having him around is hurting us. Which Marinelli doesn't have some incredible coaching pedigree. There's no excitement or, oh, my God, the Marinelli era. No, it's like, did you get excited when your substitute teacher came to class?
Yes.
It's basically taking a hamster off the hamster wheel and putting a fat, tired hamster on that same wheel. See if this older, more tired hamster can generate some energy.
That'd be a good name for a beer. Fat Tire Hamster. Fat Tired Hamster.
Fat Tire's a pretty good
Not
beer.
Tire. Tired. All right. And then finally, cut number 8. Is this team overhyped or is this team undercoached, at least over the last 3 weeks?
I think we have in place a team capable of competing in the playoffs, and I think we have a team that's capable of going far in the playoffs if we get in the playoffs. It's capable of that. But along the way, we're going to have to make adjustments. Along the way, we're going to have to take a step back. That's what's happened to us the last 3 weeks. Again, the fact that we won our first three because it allowed us to lose our last three and still be 3-3. I told you I was going to be trite. If we'd lost those first three plus the last three, we'd be you know where. Now, that's a ridiculous statement if, in fact, you don't realize that every time you win one, you gain on it, and then you stand place or lose. Step back when you lose. I look at the big picture. I look at the long-term picture. We don't quit trying to get these games under our belt. We never know what the record might be that gets you in the playoffs. So every series, every quarter is a big deal.
All right, so let's do this. Let's bring the G-Bag Nation in here. And coming up next, let's let them help us solve a controversy about one of the Jerry questions. KT and I way disagree on what Jerry said.
You are putting words in my mouth.
Did we put words in his mouth? We'll let G-Bag weigh in on this. We have a controversial Jerry answer. Next on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.